Our last item for this morning is our general discussion, and I'll ask our director, Phil Anderson, to give us maybe an update on the wolf situation to begin.
Thanks, Mr. Vice Chair. Well, let me just start out by saying it's been a very, very active couple of weeks in the world of wolves and wolf management. And I'll try to give you a sense of the activities that have occurred here in the last several weeks and give you a sense of where we are headed as we continue to implement the Wolf Conservation Management Plan. As you'll recall, back on August 2nd, in response to some multiple depredation events, we removed one female, kind of a teenager-aged female, out of the wedge pack. And that animal was removed in conjunction with some direction I gave to our wildlife program that to remove two wolves. We had we primarily in that effort dispatched a team of specialists, including marksmen. We wanted to be sure that we did not take the alpha male, which we have collared, recognizing that maintaining a collared animal on this pack was extremely important. So that effort resulted in the removal of one wolf out of the wedge pack. And let me just say that the 90% or maybe 99% of the activities around the wolf issue has been with the wedge pack. We had another injury of a livestock. It was calf on August 14th. And following that event, on August 16th, we had a depredation of a kill of a calf, again in the area of the wedge on the Diamond Dam Ranch. So with those two additional depredation events, I directed our wildlife program and our enforcement program to work together and put together an operation that was designed to remove up to four additional wolves. There were some explicit instructions that accompanied that direction that included that we were to make sure that we would not remove the alpha male being both an important part of the breeding pair as well as being the animal that we have collared. And they were also directed to be in their efforts to remove up to four that they not take out the alpha female. And we wanted to maintain the reproductive capacity of the pack while at the same time removing members of the pack in an effort to disrupt the pattern of predation, reduce the pack's food requirements, and potentially break up the pack. In addition, we had two different teams that were employing two different methods to try to accomplish this task. The first was to have a trapping team deployed in the area and attempt to trap. Additional animals from this pack for two purposes. One, to get a collar on an additional animal, and two, to be a tool to try to achieve the goal of removing up four animals. We had our trapping team on the ground for about 3 days before we moved in our second team. Second team was a team that included two marksmen, and they were deployed in the area and around the rendezvous side of the pack. We had both of those teams out concurrently for about a week. And while we had several opportunities to shoot one or more of the wolves from the pack, we could not definitively define our target to ensure that we did not take out or kill the alpha male or female. And so the shots that we had an opportunity to take, we passed on. It's also become very evident as we have continued our efforts to try to trap additional animals from this pack that they have been made trap-wise, in that it's obvious that they are able to detect where the traps are, and in some cases have actually dug them out. So in terms of using the trap as a tool to capture collar and or remove animals, we don't think this is a viable tool for us, at least in the short term, given that this pack has become wise to our efforts to try to trap. We have been made every attempt to be open and transparent with the public and legislature and conservation community, environmental community, animal rights groups as to what our activities are and the basis for our actions. And we did by moving forward with this effort to try to remove up to four animals, there was a campaign on the part of the environmental community, animal rights group, to encourage us to stop this activity. There were what I'll characterize as action alerts put out on websites urging individuals to contact the director's office and encourage us to stop our activities that would remove any of the wolves from the wedge pack. In some of those action alerts, my perspective is that our actions were misrepresented and that it was suggested that we were trying to kill all the members of this pack, which clearly was not our intention, and we had clearly communicated both on our website as well as telephone conversations what we intended to do and the restrictions that were placed on our teams that were deployed in the field. We received a large volume of emails, large volume meaning something in excess of 12,000 emails, from individuals all across the country as well as all across the world, encouraging us to suspend and stop any activity that would result in the death of a wolf. We also received a large volume of phone calls here at the department. Members of the public that looked at these websites and action alerts were also encouraged to contact the governor's office. And as a result, the governor's office also received a high volume of phone calls. We received a letter from the Western Environmental Law Center that was sent to me on August 24th, called into question the determinations that have been made relative to the kills of these two animals, in particular focused on the last kill, the one that occurred on August 16th, where we did have a difference of opinion amongst some of our peers outside the agency that reviewed the evidence, that whereby the department concluded that it was a confirmed wolf kill. We do have some disagreement amongst experts as to whether the information presented is properly concluded as a wolf kill. One of the closing statements in the letter from this group was that despite the good work developed over multiple years of negotiation, that good work is now at risk due to WDFW's decision to kill four wolves in contravention of the agreed plan. This path leads only to conflict, which is neither good for the community nor wolves. WDFW must immediately recall its sharpshooters from the field. That's a quote from the letter. On August 29th, received a letter from Senator Ranker. And he also raised the issues, some issues about documenting that the depredation that occurred on August 16th, as well as the previous one, was clearly as a result of a wolf attack. In his concluding paragraph in his letter, he says the order to kill up to four wolves at this point, in addition to the one already eliminated, might seem overly aggressive, even if the above questions were not lingering, those questions being whether or not we can clearly conclude that the kills came from a wolf. Continuing on from the letter, he says, with the questions and with the recent discovery that the ear tag pup is dead, that ear tag pup we found, one of our staff found in our, as we were out on the ground. So continuing on with the quote, that the ear tag pup is dead from unknown cause, your standing kill order strikes me as ill-advised and an overreaction, especially at this early stage of recovery. This was in part, at least in response to a letter that I had sent to Senator Ranker and others that described a series of events relative to the wedge pack that led us to the decision that we needed to lethally remove animals from this pack. I also met on August 28th, which was this week, met with a group of representatives from several environmental organizations, Defenders of Wildlife, Conservation Northwest, Humane Society, Wolf Haven International, Sierra Club, and we had a 2.5-hour discussion about our activities, had a good discussion about the content of the plan, and we specifically focused on the language in the plan that provides the tool to use lethal removal, and quoting from the plan, to stop repeated depredations if it is documented that livestock has clearly been killed. We talked about the difference in the plan and that language from the language that's in the compensation section of the plan, where under compensation, a confirmed kill is one where there is, I quote, reasonable physical evidence that the dead or injured animal was actually attacked or killed by a wolf. So from their perspective, there is a difference where you would provide compensation for a confirmed kill. The bar, I would suggest that they believe is lower, that there is reasonable physical evidence versus what the plan provides us to move to a lethal control, where it says that it is documented that livestock has clearly been killed by a wolf. We also talked about the investigations, the evidence that led to the conclusions, and the differing opinions amongst experts in their field relative to whether or not the evidence clearly suggests that and clearly documents that the kill was from a wolf attack. Also on August 29th, this would have been Wednesday, after 12 days of being in the field with both trapping activities and our marksmen being deployed on a daily basis, we pulled back our teams from the field. We did that for three different reasons. One, we have a hunting season that starts on September 1, archery season. So, and we, of course, with the Labor Day weekend, we felt that we would have an increase in the number of members of the public that were out on the landscape in the area where we were working. And we also needed to give our crews a break. They'd been out doing this, as I said, for 12 days. We wanted to give them a break. And thirdly, we wanted a chance to reevaluate our next steps. And when we're doing that reevaluation, we want to do that with our team, which includes our regional folks, Steve Pizangra and others from the region, as well as headquarters staff, including myself and Nate, Dave Ware, and Donnie Martorello. We've been talking daily, but as to whether or not we're approaching this appropriately, obviously there are many who are characterizing, who are advocates of our actions, that are characterizing the result of our actions as failures, in that we first said we were going to take two wolves, we took one, we later said we were going to take up to four, and we haven't taken any. And so there are people that are certainly questioning our success. We will be convening on Tuesday to evaluate our next steps based on what we've learned, and we have learned some things about the pack, certainly, during the last 2 weeks. Yesterday, August 30th, we had two more calves attacked. at the Diamond M Ranch. One of those calves was injured severely. Preliminary indications are that it was from a wolf attack. I think there are people who have observed it from the sheriff's office and certainly the livestock operators that are clearly concluded from their perspective that it was a result of a wolf attack. We want to stay true to our process in terms of doing the appropriate investigation, having the right internal conversations, and we will be doing concluding those today and making a determination on the cause of the injury to that animal as well as to another. The second animal, my understanding, was not as severely injured as the first, fortunately. And then last night, there was a meeting in Colville with the livestock operators. It had been a previously scheduled meeting to talk about compensation and trying to build a compensation package that would take into consideration such things as weight loss and or injury to animals, not just kills. The meeting was scheduled to have a smaller subset of the livestock operators work on this project. However, the meeting, as a result of the injuries to these two calves and the decision by the livestock owner to bring the two calves that were injured to the meeting in his, I believe, in a pickup truck, as well as having a number of additional members of the livestock community, the sheriff's office, come to the meeting. I think it made it difficult, if not impossible, after talking with Steve Pizangra and Commissioner Duvia this morning to accomplish their goal of working on the compensation piece. From talking with both Steve and Commissioner Duvia both last night as well as this morning, it's clear that the fact that we have not removed the number of animals from this pack that we were what we stated our objective is a source of extreme frustration and disappointment. And I believe we would share with you that they believe we've been a failure in our efforts to control the activities of this pack and to try to reduce interactions with livestock and livestock losses. I have a meeting scheduled with several members of the governor's office here at 11 o'clock today to talk about this issue as well as another issue. And I also forgot to mention that I had a lengthy conversation with Senator Rofus yesterday also, who called and was expressing concerns about our actions and expressing support for the perspective and the position that was offered by Senator Ranker in his letter. So I think it's fair to say that we have a long ways to go to try to get our arms around this issue. We have lost ground with the livestock community in Northeast Washington. We obviously have a lot of interest in the issue, a lot of concern about our activities from the environmental community and people that are advocates for wolves as well. So it is a classic case where we're caught in the crosshairs of everyone that has an interest in this issue and an interest in wolves. So again, just looking ahead, This afternoon, we'll be making our final determination on the cause of the injury. Was it a wolf attack or some other cause? We'll be meeting on Tuesday to map out our next steps, and that may or may not include some changes to the SIPs and the direction we've been going. Animals are being taken off the range, particularly by the Diamond M Ranch and maybe others as well, largely as a result of the depredation and injuries that are occurring. There are some numbers being shared with us from ranchers there that indicate that the losses are very significant, maybe as high as 20%. I don't know that I do know that we don't have any documentation of those numbers yet. There is a database that's being compiled by the county that the livestock operators are feeding information into, so as they bring their livestock off the range here in the next 4 to 6 weeks, we should have a much clearer picture about the losses and how those losses compare to losses in previous years. There's also a significant interest on the part of the livestock community in Northeast Washington to have the sheriff's office take on a greater role in managing these conflicts. I'll be reaching out again to Sheriff Kendall today to talk to him, or Kendall Allen, the sheriff from Stevens County, to talk about the resources he has and how, if there's any opportunity for coordination, greater coordination between the Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Sheriff's Office. From my perspective, from what I understand, there are some who maybe would like to have the Sheriff's Office take the lead on this issue, but I don't think that's, in my view, appropriate. But at the same time, we've coordinated with them closely. They've been responding to depredation and injuries, as our staff has. Want to make sure that we continue to work together with the Sheriff's Office and his staff to most effectively use our resources. So that's my best attempt to kind of give you an update on the activities in the world of wolf conservation and management over the course of the last couple of weeks. Again, it's been a very active time, and I wish I could report that we were in a better place.
Commissioner Smith?
Commissioner Smith, go ahead.
Thank you, Director. In these times of emotions and concerns, I sleep a little bit better each night knowing that we have you guiding us with a steady hand and a calm, rational approach to this issue down there in Olympia. So I just want to compliment you publicly for a job that is thankless in many ways regarding this issue and wrought with controversy no matter which direction you turn. But I appreciate your efforts.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Duvia?
Commissioner Koenig?
Yeah, I'd like to second that and as well extend that to the WDF staff that's on the ground. Sometimes I don't think we all realize what a position this puts them in and how hard that can be, and that I know some of them personally and believe they are really trying to do the best they can and have good training. And I think, they're putting in long hours and long nights, and we should all be very supportive of the whole WDFW staff and processes that are involved. So, again, I second that.
This is Commissioner Duvia, and I'd like to make a couple of comments after being one of the attendees to the meeting last night. And I do have a great deal of faith in our director in trying to lead us through a real predicament. Last night, Steve Persang and myself had quite a meeting with about 20, 25 county commissioners, Senator Morton, the news media, Sheriff Allen, and a few public citizens and numerous cattlemen. Had presence two calves that had recently been attacked, so they could everybody could see the impact they've had. One of the calves was very unlikely to live; the other one probably will. But it's kind of a dilemma. After daily involvement with this pack for the last several months, and trying to perform all the different tools that we have in our recovery package, the behavior of this pack continues to kill cattle on a weekly or daily basis. The rancher that's primary concern is now estimating his loss so far this year at about $100,000. That becomes a worrisome, significant problem for him, even though he is probably the largest or one of the largest cattlemen in the state of Washington. We're probably going to have $200,000 to $600,000 economic impact to the cattle industry in Stevens County when this all comes together by the end of October. This pack is one that is demonstrated repetitive attraction to cattle. This has happened in other states. It was discussed in our plan. It's been an issue for all the other states that they too have gone through this process, that when packs begin to demonstrate this kind of consistency and the predation on cattle, their behavior extremely likely to continue, and there are very few, if any, strategies on how to change their behavior other than relocating them to an area that doesn't have that opportunity for them, or to remove the pack. That was discussed in our plan, and even though I think we have tried every tool in our toolbox to avoid this situation, we are now faced with it, and how to come about that and still keep peace with both sides, the environs on one side and the cattlemen on the other, is extremely difficult, if not impossible, for us to come out a winner on this one. The environmental groups certainly aren't helping us. The cattlemen certainly are upset with us. But the problem is ours, unfortunately, and we continue to have to maybe address this in some way. I think we've got to continue to go forward and work with all sides, but it's unfortunate that one economic group has to pay such a large price for the recovery of wolves. And I hope that would be better understood by the total communities that needs to know that sometimes there's packs that just aren't compatible. And we have more packs coming that will take their place that maybe will live in harmony with us much better. So I don't have any more magic or any answers. I don't know if anybody does, but I think we're at a point where we need to reach out to, and include everybody to come to help to solve this problem. We can't continue to kind of be in between and make 100% of all wolves living and killing 100% on the other side isn't going to be the solution. So it'd be nice if we get a lot more cooperation from both sides. And I know Steve and myself and the director will continue to review meetings last night to see what the options are. And I think we do have a significant sense of urgency. This PAC is up there taking another $1,500 cow down today, probably. And the neighbors are starting to worry. They know they've got cows that probably aren't going to come back out. Unfortunately, in the wedge, if they go west, they go onto another cattleman's private range. Most of these kills that have taken place are on private property. And if we push them out of there, it's all private property, just about. If it goes west, south, or east, it goes to more cattle. If it goes a few miles north, it goes to Canada. So we're really have no place to disperse these animals. And the wedge has an underpopulation of ungulates, and so it's pretty easy for them to prioritize cattle. They are easier and more abundant than probably other areas where we have more ungulates. So it's a discussion I hope all the commissioners think about and maybe have some thoughts that could help us. It's something that we got to help the staff and the director work through this.
Vice Chair Duvia, Commissioner Jennings.
Yes, Commissioner Jennings.
I just want to say I was a little disappointed in the breadth of organizations on the conservation community side that participated in the letter. We certainly can't please all the people all the time, but when I look at the rate of growth of our state wolf population in the past 2 to 3 years and the trend we've got and the number of known packs and the clear discussion about our concerns about wildlife predation and balancing that against recovery, I was hoping to have a more thoughtful response from the conservation community on the wedge pack situation. We have, I think at this point, 6 confirmed packs relative to the 2 we had last year or the year before, so the trend is growing very quickly. We're trying, our plan talked about disrupting packs that turn focused on livestock to have them move across the landscape to less sensitive spots, less spots where we might have less interactions with livestock. And so I'll just stop there, but I'd like to have everybody understand the larger landscape situation we have and not really focusing on the individual pack we have here because of the large growth in the total wolf population in the state.
Yeah, Commissioner Smith?
Commissioner Smith, go ahead.
I share Commissioner Jennings' last few words. Looking at the big picture sometimes is not as self-serving for some organizations as focusing on an individual instance, but the big picture is one of positive enhancement of wolves in the state of Washington, and I think both the department and others in the state were not rightly served by some of the comments coming from the conservation community.
Mr. Vice Chair, Commissioner Carpenter.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you. I appreciate the comments of the other commissioners. I have a somewhat similar perspective. And, you know, I think the difficulty of this is this is pretty new to all of us. I have the highest regard for the departmental staff, expertise, professionalism, senior management, including the directors, certainly. There's not a template out there that guides us in any way, shape, or form on how to handle this. We have to do this on a daily basis. Staff has to engage, like Phil commented, they're going to be later, and then Monday, I guess, or Tuesday, excuse me. I think they coming together, cooperatively sharing information with each staff and finally getting it to Phil's desk, and then make the decisions, make a basic decision based on the information you got. The pressure that comes from the people that are got the crosshairs on us is going to be there. We're not going to change that, but I think it's important to say that the staff has done a great job, going to continue to do a great job, and we have to make decisions with the information we have on a current basis and go forward. And the fallout of that will be the fallout of that. I don't think we can change that.
Mr. Vice Chair?
Commissioner Kane?
Yeah, I think it becomes obvious as we move into this that the crosshairs are from all directions. You know, whether that's the ranching community who's suffering, of course they're not happy with the department that's responsible in their minds for all of this. The environmental community has their opinions and feelings on the issue as well. And I think the one thing that comes clear in my mind is we may not have a template, but there are other places where people have, and communities have, somewhat successfully, if not, there's still problems, but there's some communities where they're working this out. So I would very much encourage that we don't always jump to the end and say, well, we have to take some action as opposed to, or for instance, lethal action, as opposed to what is working wherever people have dealt with this before. Because, yes, it's new to Washington, but there are some examples of places that are making some things work. And I just encourage us to I'm not saying there won't be the end lethal action necessary. That can happen. But there also has to be an upfront, are we doing everything possible? And I think no one's doubting that these ranchers are not doing what they need to do. What we don't know is, are there some other avenues? Are there some other ways that it could be looked at? Why in Montana does one watershed seem to get along all right and the watershed next door doesn't? Wolf packs are all different. We're not experiencing these problems yet with some of the other wolf packs. Why is that occurring? What is happening different? Is it the topography? Is it rotation? I guess it just opens the door that we're very open for all suggestions and ideas to make it work. And we have to support those ranching communities, yet we have to be aware of what the environmental community is saying as well.
Vice Chairman, Commissioner Carpenter.
Commissioner Carpenter.
I'm going to ask you a question, if I may, and anyone else, staff. What is your sense of the ranchers? Break point. I mean, at what point in time, or has there been some discussion, or God forbid, they're going to take things into their own hands? I mean, is there any dialogue there that we need to know about?
We are very close to that point. They have worked with us. There is not a non-lethal effort that has not been made in the wedge. This is probably the best range rider in the state. He and his cowhands. This is also one of the toughest places for that to be effective. Any other strategies they have not hesitated not to try. This is, in all states, we get certain packs in Montana, Wyoming, Oregon, that have to be removed for whatever reasons. And that's Commissioner Caney points out, you try, but it's not all the same in every place. I personally feel that the wedge has too small of an ungulate population to give the wolves an alternative feeding food source. And when you have that, and when they become accustomed to killing cattle, they're pretty lazy animals, and they take the easiest, quickest way to provide food. And we have the Dawsons on the other side, where they happen to be in a pretty productive ungulate population. They're seeing a lot of wolf activity, but they're not too heavily involved with their cattle. So different places, different times, and we have six packs identified in Northeast Washington. There's probably another five that we just don't have identified that have repetitive scenes and pictures and tracks. And we've had to spend so much time on conflict and with our staff, we haven't had the opportunity to spend enough time on recovery. So we have a lot of wolf activity here. It's on every mountain, in every valley, in every draw. And it's just a matter of how many places can we be at the same time. So it's a tough deal for the staff. And this particular one has dwarfed our efforts. The amount of hours and manpower we've got on this one pack is unbelievable. And as we started our plan with, and when we finally approved it, I think the one overriding thing we said is that we will continue this to be a work in progress, that the wolf management is not an easy process nor very understandable, and it has to be adaptive, and it has to be continually modified to meet the situations. And that's where we are. And so we have a plan that's a guide, but it's not the end. And as we learn and get more involved with these things, we got to modify it and do what's best for the results we want to have.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Yeah, Commissioner Perry.
Thank you. I agree with most of the things that the other commissioners have offered on this. I think some of the comments have been very productive. But I guess I too was extremely disappointed in environmental community reaction to this, with the lack of understanding of what the cattlemen are contributing to this wolf recovery. They're essentially paying the whole bill for this in terms of the wolf impact on their particular activity out there. And I haven't talked to a cattleman yet that would seriously like to have no wolves. They would like to have some level of population out there that would be compatible with their use of the landscape as well. And I think there should be more understanding on that, on the environmental side, to what their situation is, and assisting the department in trying to come up with solutions that work for both sustainable wolf populations and the cattle industry that uses some of the same lands. I think that's an extremely important point. But I also wanted to say that in terms of Commissioner Carpenter's comment, what would the reaction be? To me, that's pretty easy to understand. I live in a more urban environment. If somebody was breaking into my house or doing damage on my property, and I called the police and they did all they could, and it continued, it's only human nature to protect your own property. So I think that's what we're really faced with here. And I think people are willing to do as much as they can within the law to protect their property, to make the situation positive, but I think everybody reaches an end point in which they think, well, I've got to do something on my own. So I think that probably is in the future, at least. But the last thing I wanted to say is that I saw the letters from the environmental community. I also saw Phil's response to that. I thought his letter was extremely good, very positive, factual, laying out the situation very, very clearly. And I, too, have a lot of confidence in the director and the staff to address these problems. But I also agree that we've got to adapt to the various situations and do whatever is necessary to solve those. I don't think there's a silver bullet, but I think that we are headed in the right direction and working on them. We just have to keep keep forging ahead on this thing. Thank you.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Commissioner Wecker.
Yeah, I think we've all expressed our appreciation for the work of the director and staff. This is an enormously difficult problem, challenge, and it's going to be with us for a very long time, forever. We are recovering wolves for the long term, so no doubt we're going to face these challenges for quite a while. I wanted to ask about the efforts staff are undertaking to get the truth out to the broader public. Is our new staff member, Bruce, still there, Rodke? Is he going to be involved in trying to disseminate more factual information to everyone involved?
Commissioner Wecker, Mr. Duvia, Commissioners, this is Bruce Botka. I've been involved pretty closely over the last, well, since I started work here in mid-June on the communication of the wolf information. We've tried to be very measured in the communication and at the same time open and transparent, really following the director's lead in terms of being as straightforward as we can and explaining the rationale behind what we're doing.
In what ways? Besides our website, which the director already mentioned, what other media are we using?
We have used Facebook to some extent, and actually have been tracking the public response on Facebook. I'll be planning to talk with you a little bit more about that when we have a social media presentation at the October Commission meeting. But I can tell you that pretty quickly on the social media, the conversation, the group shrinks to a very small and extremely dedicated group of users. We've also been doing a lot of individual one-on-one media interviews, and those stories, the resulting coverage and web content is really multiplied by postings and forwarding, and I think there's actually been really extensive public information that's resulted from our work.
And Vice Chair Commissioner Wecker, we've had a lot of interest, as Bruce said, from the news media. I did I probably spent 45 minutes on the phone yesterday with Craig Welch from the Seattle Times, who's going to be doing an article this weekend.
Great.
And and Nate, I know, has spent a lot of time with people from the media and had conversations with them. And actually, that's been quite effective in getting our message out, trying to get the facts out. We've really been assisted in that way by the interest that the news media has had in this issue.
Thank you.
I mean, the website, we've been updating our website every time there's a change. We've got a running chronology of events and decisions and results on our website that is, and it's readily apparent. It's kind of the first thing you see. It's right in the middle of the opening page of our website. So,
Mr. Vice Chair, Commissioner Carpenter.
Go ahead, Mr. Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you. I think in the spirit of perhaps bringing this issue to closure, I would just like to say that personally I want to be on the record as a vote of confidence 100% for Phil and his staff in handling this complex issue today and into the future, and trust the decisions and judgments that are made.
Mr. Vice Chair?
Yeah, Director Anderson?
Thanks to all of you for your support. Very much appreciated and needed, obviously. I'm not proposing any action here, certainly, but this issue about the language in the plan where lethal control can be used to stop repeated depredations if it is documented that livestock has clearly been killed, the word clearly, as opposed to the language under the compensation piece that I referenced early where there is reasonable physical evidence. The word clearly is, to me, is a very high bar. And when you look at it, you just look in the dictionary under clearly, and it's things like free from flaw, free from doubt, unmistakable. Some instances where an animal has been killed by a cougar or a wolf, it's clear. And when you get there, it's clear. There are other places where it's not as clear. We've got the bar so high that I'm concerned. I have to say I'm concerned about that. We're seeing differences of opinion between equally credible people when they're reviewing kill site and the evidence that we've acquired about whether or not it can be confirmed as a wolf kill or from some other cause. So understanding that the plan is not a regulation, and that if I'm going to deviate from the plan, I have to have a clear rationale for doing it, and I would be documenting it with a note to the file and communications with you. But I do have to just call to your attention that the bar is very, very high, and that's caused us problems, frankly, with the livestock community, where, you know, it may be the reasonable physical evidence bar, but it doesn't meet the free from doubt bar. So I just want to call that to your attention.
Vice Chair Duvia, Commissioner Jennings.
Commissioner Jennings.
Mm-hmm. You know, I looked at the letter we got from, I think it was the Western Law, Environmental Law Center, and they're looking at our wolf document as almost an administrative document that they're looking at the language very carefully. I guess my question is, looking at their letter, is that something that we should look at potentially modifying the language of the wolf plan to give us a better ability to operate the way we think is appropriate? And how might that process happen? And I'm looking at the time, we've already run out of time. We haven't gotten to Columbia River. So I think we might want to curtail this discussion on wolves to our commission meeting next week so we can discuss the Columbia River situation. But just wondering how we want to, we might want to look at the comments received and respond to them in an administrative way.
Mr. Vice Chair?
Just a moment, Commissioner Cartmer. Let me
kind
of answer Commissioner Jenny's thing. I think there is some disparity in a couple places that are inconsistent in our plan on that word clarity. And I would suggest that we let the director take a look and maybe bring us some thoughts next week at a commission meeting. How do we adapt our plan? As I mentioned before, this is supposed to be a work in progress and needs to be flexible, and I think there is an inconsistency on that, and we need to have some language in there that gives a little more direction and opportunity for the director to manage this process. Prosecutors in Stevens County have looked at our plan and says it's impossible to convict anybody of a wolf kill under our language we have in there. So it does need to be reviewed and looked at. And I would suggest that we, in the sake of time, let the director come back so we put some as he mentioned, notes in the file, or we come back and add some additional language to clarify exactly what we're talking about in several places. It talks about determining whether or not we have deprivation or not. Director Anderson, does that follow your thoughts?
Thanks, Mr. Vice Chair. I'll scope out what that looks like and be prepared to have a follow-up conversation with the Commission next week.
Is that agreeable with the Commissioners?
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Yeah, Commissioner Carpenter.
I was just wondering if it would be appropriate or helpful for Phil, if he wanted to, or whoever else might want to get engaged to speak to Attorney General Freymeyer on the issue as related to the language, so that we can move forward at the meeting next week with a little more insight into what the decision would create.
I don't need to speak for the director, but I'm sure from previous patterns that definitely will be part of his exploration of what's best for that language. So,
thank you.
I think we'll put it in his hands, and we'll continue this discussion next week at our full commission meeting. I think we need to move forward. The director's got to leave here at 11. Let's go to the Washington, Oregon, Columbia River History Management Update. And Director Anderson, you want to begin the discussion?
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Vice Chair. And I'm not going to go through things that I think you already know, such as the letter that Governor Kitzhaber wrote, the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission, and Director Elliker. There was a follow-up, as you're aware, Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting where Brett Brownscombe from the governor's office presented a letter to the to Oregon that provided some additional detail about the governor's proposal. I think everybody's got a copy of that and is aware of that. We have talked, and following the direction from the commission, I have followed up with Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife staff. We had a meeting on August 24th, which is a week ago today, and talked about the development of a process and a timeline. I had Tammy Leninger join me at that, and I know she has distributed the outline of that process and timeline, which I believe you have. There are a couple of key pieces that I'll speak to. One is the number of commissioners that would we talked about having a subset of commissioners from each commission form the primary participants in a process whereby we would join with our counterparts in Oregon in addressing this issue. You may recall that their commission has 7 members, where we have 9, and as a result, the number of commissioners that constitute a quorum for them is 4, so they're limited to 3 members to participate in this type of a process. They did that we have 3 commissioners rather than 4, so that we'd have an equal number of commissioners from each entity, and based on the conversation that I had had with all of you, felt that was agreeable. So we landed on that. The next piece is we talked about advisors. You'll recall our last process, we had 6 advisors from each state. Those advisors were appointed by the respective commission/department. We are recommending that we have 4 advisors from each state this time instead of 6, understanding that we have a short timeline, and we felt that 4 advisors from each state would be sufficient. The next item was, from my perspective at least, that we needed to have a facilitator. and they agreed that that would be a very useful thing for us to have to be efficient and effective in our process and discussions. An individual from a firm called Resolve, his name was Paul DeMorgan. He facilitated our process last time. He was also the facilitator for our Wolf Conservation Management Plan development. And we agreed that if we could get him, that would be a good thing, having someone that had some experience in background in the issues. So I was assigned I was assigned to try to get, see if I could reach him and see if I could secure him, understanding that it was a pretty short time frame. And I was successful there. I have talked with Paul. We'll have some scheduling things to work out, but he is available and interested. And so we're working on securing the details of that. We talked about development of alternatives. Obviously, and probably not surprisingly, it was clear that the Oregon delegation needed an alternative that adhered and mirrored the proposal that they had received, an approach that they had received from Governor Kitzhaber and Brett Brownscombe. We understood that. We also raised some concerns about that approach and our ability to be successful and explore the idea and potential of having an alternative that maybe departed from the Governor Kitzhaber's approach to address some of our concerns and issues, and there seemed to be a willingness to do that. We have staff assignments for both Oregon and Fish and Wildlife Agency, as well as ourselves, for staff to meet next Tuesday, September 4th, and further flesh out the process, but more importantly, to come up and with some management alternatives that we could bring to the meeting on September 21st. There was a lot of, I think we were all shared the thought that we didn't want to start with a blank slate. We needed to have the Governor Kitzhaber's alternative clearly fleshed out and put on a piece of paper, as well as any alternatives that may deviate from that in some way in recognition of concerns about the potential to realistically implement all pieces of his approach. And at the same time, being respectful and acknowledging the statutory obligations that we have as an agency. We secured, and Tammy Leninger worked with the members that were identified by our commission, which are Commissioner Mankin, Commissioner Schmitten, and Commissioner Carpenter. We have our first meeting date is September 21st. We will host that meeting here in Olympia in our building. And the timeline that you received, I won't go through all of it, but you may recall that we would review, refine, and adopt management alternatives for analysis at that meeting. We'd have a time period for that analysis to take place and refine those alternatives as needed or coming back from from that analysis. We'd have a second full working group meeting that would be held in Salem, which is where obviously Oregon Fish and Wildlife is headquartered. Review that analysis, refine the options based on the analysis. We were looking at October 18th, but we understand that Commissioner Schmidt has a conflict on October 18th, so we're likely to have to look for a date the following week. We have commission meetings. We each have commission meetings the first part of November, where we would have the opportunity for public comment on the alternatives and the accompanying analysis that had been done, with a follow-up work group and potential joint commission meeting toward the end of November to try to secure a consensus on what would be proposed to the independent governing bodies for potential adoption at your December meetings, respectively. So that's the kind of the outline, understanding that there is a limited amount of time, from at least from Oregon's perspective, that the governor identified wanting to have rulemaking done by the end of December. We were clear that we would not necessarily be doing rulemaking. We would be capturing any decision that was made to change the management approach in the Columbia River through a change in our policy, our commission policy, and that rulemaking is really the implementation piece of a policy. So we did have that discussion. Yes.
Oh, this is Brad, Phil. Just one quick question. When you said the end of November of a joint commission meeting, was that the entire commission or just the committee?
We were contemplating both the commissions as a body from both states.
Okay, that's
potential. We need to talk more about that as to whether or not that's a good thing, or in our meeting on the 21st, that might be a topic. We probably wouldn't be making a decision on that until the October meeting as to whether or not that was needed or appropriate, or whether working through this work group and then back to the commissions as independent entities and in their meetings that they already have scheduled, that we can accomplish our mission.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Vice Chair, that's a quick run through of what's happened and how we're preparing to meet this challenge. Bill Twight's here with me here in Olympia as well, who's been with me in these meetings, as well as Guy Norman and of course, our Pat Frazier, our regional fish program manager from Region 5.
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Commissioner Mankin.
Commissioner Mankin?
Yeah, Phil, on your second category there, your four advisors from each state, have we picked our four advisors? I missed that if you listed them.
No, I thought that would be something that the commission. I'll let you make the decision, but I'm thinking that we would have that as a discussion point in our fish committee meeting next week, and that I would want the commission, and or if they delegated that to the three commissioners or to the fish committee, however that was done, that you would play a major role in deciding who our advisors would be.
Yeah, good. Thank you. I have one other question too. I fully support the decision to put Paul DeMorgan in as the facilitator. He did a very, very good job on the previous go around with these issues on the Lower Columbia River. I guess my question is, facilitators don't come cheap, and who will pay for Paul's participation, and do we know anything about what the cost might be?
Yes. I have taken the liberty of making an agreement with Oregon that we would, there are kind of two, well, there are at least two costs associated with this process. One is a facilitator. I have an approximate cost. I think it's going to be somewhere around $8,000. And I agreed with Roy that we would split that cost between the two and our two states. The second area where we have a cost is the staffing, the taking, meeting notes, distributing documents to the group, those kinds of activities. And I suggested that Roy and Oregon pay for that. So we've kind of got a tentative agreement on that. I don't know exactly how much that particular part of the process will cost. But so that Oregon would pay a marginally higher burden of the cost of this process.
Okay, I have one other question, and that has to do with the October 18th meeting and the inability of Commissioner Schmidt to be present there. You said that it's going to go maybe the following week. Do we have an option there? Do we have a preference as to what day in the following week that might be?
I believe Tammy Leninger, your executive assistant, executive secretary, sorry, Tammy, will be sending out or asking the members of our delegation what day during that week would work for them, and we will be communicating back with Oregon to see if we can land on a date, but Tammy was going to do that.
Sorry, Phil. Our commissioner said any day that week, so we were waiting for Oregon to let us know what worked for them.
Okay.
Good.
Is that still true, Connie? Or Commissioner Mankin? Sorry.
Yes, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's still true for me.
Okay. So we'll work on...
I just would like to get it on the agenda, that's all.
Yeah. We'll work on getting that nailed down. Roy Elliker's been on vacation all this week. I've talked to him a couple times anyway, but as has Kurt Melcher, which is their deputy, who's also going to be involved in this. So I think we'll be able to make more progress next week, early in the week, hopefully, to get that date nailed down.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Phil.
My meeting with the governor's office, I see, is at 10:30, so I'm going to need to step out pretty quick here. And Bill's here, too, if there's questions.
Well, one thing, Director Anderson, if the staff happens to get some thoughts on paper that we could look at before we get to Olympia next week, even a day ahead of time, so we can start thinking about it, that would be helpful for me anyway to think about those in my six-hour drive over to see you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I'd like to do that, but frankly, their meeting is on Tuesday the 4th. Our commission meeting is on Wednesday the 5th, and they're going to be spending the morning of the 5th getting whatever they talked about on the 4th on paper. So I'm sorry for the squeeze, but...
Mm-hmm. I understand.
All right, I can't remember. Is the Columbia River issue on Wednesday or Thursday of our Wednesday? Okay. We'll do our best to get you whatever we have.
Okay. Any quick questions for the director before he leaves on the Columbia River? All right. Thanks, Director Anderson. I appreciate your attendance today, and good luck with the governor.
Thank you.
Any other discussions on the Lower Columbia River at this time? Any other activities or general discussion from the commission? Hearing no comments.
Vice Chair Dubia?
Yeah, Commissioner Wecker.
I wanted to remind everyone to bring your Puget Sound shrimp policy folder that you were provided at the last meeting so we don't have to recopy and give you another copy. So bring along the shrimp notebook.
I think Tammy has already sent this out, a reminder for that, too, this morning.
Right.
Our normal gal Friday is way ahead of the game. Any other comments, discussions? Hearing none, I will adjourn our meeting at 10:28, August 31st, the conference call for the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission. Have a good weekend, everyone, and we'll see each other next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.